Dankie. Daar sê. Awesome. God bless the married men and the fathers today. Bless you. Celebrating the father of fathers, and that's Daddy God. It's my privilege to do a baby dedication again this morning. So I'm going to ask Martin and Anika, come to the front, please. Hallo. Het julle geswat vir julle eksamens? Het julle vir die vraelys gegee wat julle? Hallo julle twee kies. Hallo, okay. I just want to put this. Okay, vandag waaroor dit gaan is die covenant waarin hierdie ouers aan ingaan. They make a covenant to raise the children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. En hierdie is die covenant wat hulle maak. They make themselves accountable. So we say, we as the parents, or I as the parents of the child, hereby make the following covenant. I will raise my child according to the parenting principles as written in God's word. I will use the Bible as the final authority for all the decisions we make as a family. I will ensure that we live according to the biblical values in our home. I will ensure that my life will be a Christ-like example to my child. I will teach my child to honor my spouse. I will continue to grow as a Christian parent and pass that knowledge on to my child. I will always pray for God's will to be done in our lives. What you could just hear him say. You see this angel face here, yellow. It's absolutely beautiful. I make this covenant in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so ek gaan eerstens vir die ouers bid en dan vir die kinders. Staan net bietjie nader om my little hande op julle so kan sit. ek byt nie, ek beloof. Father, thank you that this morning as a congregation of believers, brothers and sisters in Jesus, we can lift up these parents to you, Lord God. We call on them by name this morning before you, Lord. Martin and Anika. We pray that you give them wisdom, strength, and courage, and godly reverence for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you enable them to live out these covenants that they've made this morning to you, Lord, that it won't just be vain promises or something that they read, but something that they will live by. Thank you that you will enable them to be godly examples to their children in this day and age. Thank you that raising children will be a joy to them. Thank you that you will supernaturally provide everything that they need, Lord God, for their children and for their household, Lord. Thank you that their home will become a sanctuary for the things of God. Give them courage and wisdom and faith to live a life that pleases you and parents that please you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, for wie gaan ek vir eerste bid volg? Kom ons begin met Christian. Dankie, seun. Lord, thank you that I can lift up this precious life to you this morning, Christian, Lord. And he's such a young child. His whole life is ahead of him, Lord. And thank you that as he is exposed to the things of the world, Here, laat u vir hom onderskeiding sal gee om te kan onderskei tussen dit wat reg is en dit wat verkeerd is. Dat hy God se wysheid sal sien en ervaar in sy lewe. Thank you that you will protect him, Lord God, from the onslaught of the devil and from the world corrupting this precious soul. Thank you that he will come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior as at an early age, and that he will boldly in faith live out your call upon his life in the name of Jesus. Thank you that he will make a difference in his age and in his generation. Thank you that he will be willing to, if he stands alone but with you, Lord God, that he is not alone as he faces the world in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, hy kan ook enetjie kry, daarso. Jy mis, het maar die sakkie uithaal dat hy nie versmoor nie. En dan vir Melinka Evelyn, this beautiful, né? Okay, wat ek vir haar op. Dink jy ek sal haar kan vashou? I say, dankie. Ooh, ja, my skat. Kyk hier, so. Lord, I lift up this precious life to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as she just so lovingly just opened up her arms when I went to embrace her, thank you that she will experience your open arms in her life, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill and anoint this child in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you place in her a hunger and a thirst for the things of God from a very, very young age, Lord God. I thank you that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things will have no appeal to her in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, that she will be a shining light for Jesus in a world filled with darkness, Lord God. Thank you for your provision for her and your protection over her in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can dedicate these lives to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Get that here. Kan ons al dit? Lekker, een dag, 100%. Oké, okay, daar is die teddy. Hier is die certificaatjes vir julle. Kan vir papa gee daar so. Daar sê, baie, baie dankie julle. Veel geluk. All right, it's cold and it's fresh this morning, but we're going to warm this atmosphere, going to warm our hearts and our bodies by worshiping the Lord. Is that okay with everybody this morning? Let's stand as we glorify the Lord Jesus. Bless you guys. Thank you.
can't count the times I've called your name some broken night. You sure patch me up. You do every time I get amnesia. I forget that you keep coming around. Thank you. Fog is clear away.
ons gee die Here 'n bietjie hande klap toe. Hè? Hy is dan awesome. Verskoning. Onthou asseblief youth Vrydag aande 7:00. Hier sit hulle. Hulle soek mense. Jy moet julle tieners stuur, hoor, dat hulle bietjie kom kuier. Goed, ek lees ons saam uit Spreuke 3, vers 5 tot en met vers 10. Vertrou op die Here met jou hele hart en steun nie op jou insig nie. Ken hom in al jou weë, dan sal hy jou paaie gelyk maak. Wees nie wys in jou eie oë nie. Vrees die Here en wyk af van die kwaad. Dit sal 'n genesing wees vir jou liggaam en verkoeling vir jou beende. Vereer die Here uit jou goed en uit die eersteling van al jou inkomste. Dan sal jou skure vol word van oorvloed en jou parskuipe oorloop van mos. Vader, beloof ons in sy woord. Gee vir jou sal gegee word. Ons weet, ons sê dit elke week, oor en oor en oor. Alles behoort in elk geval aan Vader. Wees net gehoorsaam. Dis Vader wat Vader van ons verwag. Ons moet gehoorsaam wees. Kan die assers ons opkom asseblief? Jeug, lekker julle oudkies. Julle is cool, hoor, julle is cool. Dankie my seun. Kom ons gee die youth hande klap toe. Hulle is oulik die mense, hulle is cute. Of course. Ons moet hulle mos nou eer, want ons well done man. Dis ons toekoms, ons moet hulle 'n bietjie opbeer. En julle moet nie sweeties koop, hoor. Dis Lewiese se geld, né? Ek check julle. Raad, kom ons bid saam. Hemelse Vader, baie, baie dankie vir die oggend. Vanoggend wil ons net vir u loof en prys. U is ons Vader. Vandag vier ons die aartsvaders, maar ons wil vir u sê baie dankie. U is ons Hemelse Vader. Baie dankie vir u finansies wat inkom. Alles vir u en u alleen. Ons loof en ons prys u grote naam. Baie dankie Vader, seën elkeen in die huis vanoggend. Vader, ons wil net sê dankie. Ons is vanoggend hier, ons het wakker geword, ons leef en is alles net U. Baie dankie Vader, in die wonderlike naam van Jesus. Amen en amen.
Amen. Thank you to the folks that made the Father's Day gifts. You know who you are. We love and appreciate you. Bless you for the effort and care. Are putting that in a thoughtfulness. It's really, really awesome. Thank you very, very much. Let's just give them a round of applause. Whoever they are, let's get yellows. Celebrating Father's Day today and celebrating the Father. I want to encourage you, fathers. I know that not everybody's had the privilege of having a dad in their lives. Perhaps dad was there, but wasn't such a good dad, and I just trust that God is going to speak into your life this morning and bring healing where it's necessary to help you understand that He's a God that is there as a Father for us and can make up for any shortcomings and mishaps in our lives that we experienced as children growing up. And we know the importance of having fathers in our lives. And how important it is to have fathers that take the lead in their home spiritually and lead by example, taking spiritual leadership and standing in the gap for their wives and their children. This morning I want to start off by speaking about promises that fathers make and the Father's promises. That's the title of the message this morning, is the Father's promises. Now we know that a promise, people usually make promises when they want to put emphasis on something that is going to take. I promise you I'm going to do that. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for His glory. Father, we thank you that we have the Word of God this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you take what we know as the Bible and make it alive to us, that you apply it to our heart. I pray for wisdom and for understanding for every one of us as we just look at your word this morning, Lord. I pray that it changes our lives, that it encourages us, teaches us, and spurs us on to live the lives that you have called us to live in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. So it speaks of God's promises that has been fulfilled with a resounding yes. And yet in the Bible, Jesus teaches us against making oaths and things like promises. He's done so. I swear by the this and I swear by the that. He simply says in Matthew 5 verse 37, they're not going to put it up, but he just says, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. Anything more than that is from the evil one. If you have to swear, it means that, oh, Clark, your reputation is, you know, you say good morning, people want to go outside and see if the sun is actually up. You know, there's no difference between a man who doesn't keep his word and a liar, because neither of them convey the truth. So we need to be people that keep our word. Mean what you say and say what you mean. And don't say it in a mean way. As simple as that. That's it. So the Bible, God teaches us against just making promises. Just let your yes, I'm going to do this. Yes, I'm going to do that. But God can make promises. God can make promises because He is the God that keeps promises. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you have made a promise that you just could not keep? Or you chose not to. You said you're going to do something and close to the time, I just don't feel this. And the spirit of duvet comes upon you. And you sleep in a little bit longer and you just don't do what you said you were going to do. Especially now as it gets colder. And simple things like that. Oh, now I'm going to see you there at 10 o'clock. And like 10:30, you rock up there like, sup? Okay? What happened to just being punctual? Simple things like that. So, you know, and your reputation. Are you known as somebody that keeps your word? Or are you known as a ja, broer? No, definitely. I'm going to call you back. 6 years later, they're still calling you back. That thing, I'm going to call you back. What I try and do when I get people to try and commit, they say, I'm going to call you back. I get them to try and commit. And that's what you must try and do. By when can I expect your call? Because I'm going to call you back. It's like, okay, when are you going to do that? 5 minutes? 5 days? 6 weeks? You know? When I got here to the Vol Triangle, I was exposed to that more than I ever was in Joburg. I didn't know who to go to get help for what. You know, you're still getting to know the area and the service providers and the business people. I thought to myself, do these people yet, do they not want business? Because in Joburg, there'll be 7 people in a row all waiting to give you the job, and they're all going to do a better job or outquote you or give a better quote or something. And yeah, there's people that are still coming to my house to sort things out. I'm like, you know, it's like I got used to it. And I thought, okay, well, I remember God said He's sending me here, amongst other things, to raise the standard. And then I got an opportunity to share things with business people. And I'm not a businessman, not by a long shot. But the point is that we must just let our word be our word. But God makes promises because He's the God that keeps promises. Okay, so I want to encourage you, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you say you're going to do something, just do it. Stick to it. Okay, even if it's uncomfortable for you, even if it's not something that's going to work out for you, just stick to keeping your word. Now, here are some of the promises, just some, there are plenty, but here are some of the promises that we're going to keep as we celebrate the promises of the Father this morning. And I trust and believe that these promises are going to encourage you and say, Lord, they're simple things, but we need to hear things like this in this day and age and in these times because of where and how the world is going. So in no particular order, if we are uncertain, God will show us what to do. Let's just start with business people. How many times have business people faced situations today where, you know, some businesses are flourishing and others, they just don't know what they're going to do next? Perhaps as a parent, you don't know what to do with your child that's busy making yaching an at school. Maybe you're a teacher at school and you don't know what to do. You've got to raise these children in a godly way, but yet the government says you can't discipline, you can't this, you can't that. And I can erken marks as what a smark. What do you do? Maybe you've got a situation where you've tried to fix a relationship, but you just can't. You've done everything that you can, but you just can't fix it. What do you do? If you are uncertain, God will show you what to do. Isaiah 30 And verse 21. Your own ears. Grab hold of your ears this morning. Just your own ears. Your ears. Your own ears will hear him. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. I remember many, many years ago, I'd just given my life to the Lord and I started learning and reading the Bible. I says, the Lord said this and the Lord said that. And people would say, you know, I sense the Lord say this. And I was like, wow, I wish I could hear God speak to me like that. And I thought, I'm going to hear God speak to me like this. Mozzie, this is your father speaking. And the wind would blow in the curtain. I thought, no, it's still small voice of the Spirit where you just know because you know that is wrong and this is right. And you know what God, what voice God uses to speak to you? Your own. Because you listen to your own voice more than any other voice. Am I right? It sounds like your voice, but it's scriptural and something that Jesus would say. So, if you're uncertain, God will show us what to do. That's a promise. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go. And sometimes you don't hear anything. You're not sure what to do. And when you, after you've taken that first step, and when it's wrong, you know, and the conviction and the comfort of the Holy Spirit comes and says, okay, that's, you could have done better. Next time, you'll get another chance to do so. So the first promise from God is that God will show us what to do. I hope that encourages somebody this morning. If you're sitting here, there's something you're not sure what to do. You're not sure which direction to go in. God's going to speak to you. God promises that he will answer you if you cry out to him, if you call on him with all of your heart and sincerely seek for him. He will answer you. God promises that. The next promise that should bring us comfort this morning is that God is not finished working in and through us. I thank God that he's not done with me. I thank God that he hasn't thrown in the towel and said, listen, you muhu, you don't want to learn. I'm fed up. I've had it with you. I've run out of patience with you. Jy wil nie leer nie. Laat jy maar aangaan. You know, sometimes, sadly, God does that. You see, like we said before, God doesn't send anybody to hell. He simply respects people's choices. That's it. If you choose to live a life apart from the Lord, well, that's it, you know. So, God is not finished working in us yet. Like we say, we haven't arrived, but we are. Some people listen. God is not finished working in and through us. Philippians 1 and verse 6. The promise of God promises this for your life where you are at. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So the question, my dear brother, my sister, are you certain? I am certain, Paul writes to the church in Philippi, that God who begun the good work within you will continue his work until when? Until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. How long is God going to continue to work in your life? Until Jesus returns. Until Jesus returns. So I want to encourage you. You gave your life to the Lord and suddenly you stopped sinning, right? Suddenly you started doing everything right. Suddenly you had your whole act together. It was all worked out, right? No. But God who's began that work in you will continue to do that. So the question is, where are we in terms of that? Are we availing ourselves to God? So Lord, I want you to work. I want you to change me. Or are there things you're kicking against? You're just resisting. And we know that delayed obedience is disobedience. You see? So, the level of authority of God that you have in your life is directly proportionate to the level of your submission to him. What are you saying, Mozzie? Well, the more you submit to God, the more power and anointing and authority he's going to give you. How would you like it if every single one of your godly prayers were answered? Everyone. I'd like that. I like that. I know somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm sick. Pray for me. I know. I'm going to lay hands on you. You're going to get out of that wheelchair and you're going to push your wheelchair out. I know somebody phones me and says, Mozzie, so-and-so's down in an accident scene. No problem, I'm going to come there now. Or they've made all their, Jesus did this. They went through all the expenses for funeral arrangements, coffins, flowers, undertakers, everything. And he comes, just luck raises them from the dead. Come on, people. Where do we get that? Well, you submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. He gives you more and more authority as you can be trusted with His authority. So God's promise is that He's not finished working in us. He's not finished. So if you want to allow the Lord to work more in your heart, just make yourself available for God to work in your life. That's the second promise. The third promise is, I'm not a negative person. I'm a positive person. I think if you speak to Colette on the quiet, on the sideline, she'll say, no, he's always optimistic, always positive. Yes, he throws his toys out of the carton. Yes, he complains. But in general, it will always end with something positive. But in spite of all that, I don't know where you guys are at, but I want Jesus to come back. I want Jesus to come back and have the final say. I want him to prove himself to the world. You know, and it's like, yeah, Moz, but God is wanting us to show that he is real. God is wanting us to show the world that he is real. But I want Jesus to come and have the final say. How many of you, if it's okay with you, that you would want Jesus to come right now? Don't raise your hands. You can if you want to, but I'd want Jesus to come now. I want him to come now and just settle us all once and for all. Jesus has promised his return. That's a promise I'm holding on to. The Bible teaches us that we must encourage one another with these words and do it even more as we see the day approaching. We are 2,023 odd years even closer to the return of Jesus than when he first said, I'm coming again, I'm coming again, I'm coming again. That's how close we are, and it can come like this. So the next promise is Jesus has promised his return. In John 14 and verse 3, Jesus says, when everything is ready. Wow, when's that going to be, Lord? What does that mean? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Other translations speak about Jesus. I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house in verse 2 of that chapter. In my Father's house, there are many, many rooms. Many, many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I wonder what Jesus is getting ready for you. Think about that. When all things are, what is he getting ready? Somebody said this once, that God is busy preparing desires of your heart that you don't even know you have yet. Wow. Wonderful. It's incredible. When I started my career of sin, I in my wildest dreams didn't have the faintest idea that one day God is going to use this big mouth to tell other people about Jesus. It's like, what? Me? Yep. I remember the jokes I used to make about Jesus. We used to laugh and blaspheme and all that crazy stuff. And then God changed my heart and I wept about that stuff that I used to do in ignorance and just, you know, wanting to be the main peanut in the packet. And God had a plan. So Jesus has promised that he's returning. Guys, when we get to that place in our lives, you just want to end it all. You just want to throw in the towel. No. Jesus says, when everything is ready, when everything is ready, I wonder what God is busy getting ready for us. I wonder, my brother, my sister, what that looks like. Okay. Then, fifth promise. Somebody also once said this, that lack of any kind is a curse. Think about it. It's a lack of anything that's good. It's a curse. Because God is a God of abundance. And if there's no shortage of any of the of good things in heaven, why do we experience lack? Why do we experience it lack? Well, it's because there's various curses that are operative in the world today. There's a curse upon on the worldly money system. That's why when we tithe, like we said before, you don't have to tithe. You don't have to. You don't want to tithe. Don't honor God in that way. You want to break the the financial curse that's over the world monetary system. Honor God. Enter into a financial covenant with God. Return to God what is His, and you watch what happens in your life. I've never, ever, ever seen anybody that tithes and gives and free will offerings regret it. I've yet to meet that person. Why? Because you can't outgive God. And God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. So you want to continue stealing from God? Futter voort en doen jou ding, man. Sukkel vir die res van jou lewe. Or get to a place where God just breathes His life into your finances and all other areas of your life. And it's not only that. So when we're faced with lack in our lives, you know, you just struggle. You want to continue struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. Or do you want to experience God's supernatural provision in your life? The word provision, if you pro something, you're for it. You're for it and the vision. So when you live out the vision that God has given you for your life, He's for that. He brings provision where God truly guides, God provides. That's what He does. So God promises us provision. Philippians 4 and verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me, Paul speaking, will supply all your needs from His glorious riches. There's no shortage in heaven. And he says, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. His glorious riches have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So it's not according to the exchange rate. It's not according to the inflation rate. It's not according to your salary. It's according to His riches. God owns everything. I remember the first time I was in the year 2000, I was blessed with a motorcycle. It was a 2000 model R1, brand new. Somebody gave it to me. I was just a sergeant. And I was in the cops. The people thought, this cop is into some kind of corruption somewhere. Because there's no way a sergeant can afford this motorbike, John. There's just no ways that can happen. Somebody blessed me with that bike. God is faithful. God provides. And that's just one of many. And the testimonies can just go on and on and on. I'm sure those of you who honor God financially, you can also testify of how God just... I remember the first time I started tithing in my budget. I didn't get a salary increase or anything, but at the end of the month, there was money left over. I couldn't understand it, but it worked. Before that, I remember my budget book. I used to write there, God. What did I write? I wrote church. I didn't write God, church. R5. You know how proud I was. I give 5 South African rand to the church. I give 5 rand. I was proud of that. And I learned about this tithing thing. You know, I had such a poverty mentality. Serving at the church in Midrand, I volunteered to be an usher. And they want to get our sizes and stuff like that. And they want to bless us with these beautiful, like this fleecy lined jerseys with the branding on and the theme for the year. And I said, no, man, what we can do, we can just have those elasticated bibs that we can put over. I'm thinking like cheapskate, the cheap way out. And the pastor said to me, no, we want to bless you with jerseys. I'm like, what? These people, they want to bless me with this garment for my hala? For nothing, that concept was vreemd for my jylle. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the kingdom principles of giving, blessing and abundance, having enough. Why does God want you to have more than enough? That's it. So that you can be a blessing. Do you know that on the other side of your obedience financially, you are somebody's breakthrough? You somebody's miracle? You somebody's miracle? How many times have you been on the receiving end of a miracle? I've been on the receiving end of a miracle. It's like, oh Lord, this is just only God. The fact that God laid on somebody's heart to pay for this place was a miracle. The size of our church, we can't afford this. We can't afford this. There's a whole piece of ground next to you. I don't know if you know, but all of that you see there is also ours. We can't afford that, but God can. Hallelujah. God will provide. And this is one of the most misquoted texts in Christian circles. Say, God will provide all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ. It doesn't say that. God says this here. My God will supply all your needs. Paul is speaking to them. Why? Because he knew. He knew, and Paul got to the place in his life where he knew to be content, whether he's got little or plenty, abundance or lack, he knew. I'm content in all things because I know God's got me. God's got me. So I want you to be encouraged this morning, church, with this. Maybe you're a place where you are somebody else's financial miracle, and that's good. You know, that's great. But maybe you're just trusting God. God, I need a breakthrough. Now, I don't know about you. I've lived in several different places over the years, but I've never, ever seen a money tree growing in the backyard. If any of you find that tree, just phone me quick. I've never found a money tree growing in my backyard. And you know who and what God uses and who and what he's always used? People. Some translations say, a good measure, double good measure, shaken down, pressed together, shall men pour into your lap. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. God wants to provide our needs, and that's his promises. The same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. These are just some, but most certainly not all, of the promises of this God. The Father's promises for you this morning. I want to recap by summarizing them. God is a God that can make promises because he keeps his promises. We are taught to let your yes be yes and your no be no. But God's promises, don't God's promises, all right? Even if the whole world is against us, even if the whole world is against us, God never leaves us. Folks, I don't know if you noticed, but the things that the Bible teaches, the values and the principles that Christians stand for are becoming less and less popular. The world sees us as weird. Do you know that? You freaks, you guys, you, what? That book is old, man. It's thousands of years old. It was a time that's come and gone. It's not applicable today. It's irrelevant. God is old-fashioned. The whole world is against you. God will never leave you or forsake you. Even if the whole world is against you. And for young people and people still in school, it's not popular to live godly principles. It's not popular to be a Christian. It's not popular to not sleep around before marriage. It's not popular to do these things. It's not popular. What you want? You go to, where were you on Sunday? At church. And they laugh at you. It's like, what? You know? I remember when I was school. Well, maybe it's because I wasn't a Christian. So, no, I didn't get mocked for being a Christian because I wasn't one. But I remember, you know, laughing at, and once I got born again, I started learning things. I realized, okay, that one, you look back on the fruit of their life and how they were, you realize, they're Christians. And I got to know some of my school friends then who were, I realized, okay, they were serving the Lord from a very young age already. So, even if the whole world is against us, God never leaves us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. I'll never abandon you. That's Hebrews 13 and verse 5. So to recap, it's that one that I ended with. Even if the whole world is against you, God will never leave you or forsake you. When we are uncertain, God will show us what to do. Right behind us, we will hear a voice which says, this is the way you should go. And if you're battling with things in your life, know that God is not finished working in and through you. God will continue the work that he has started in you, provided we make ourselves available to the Lord for him to work in our lives. And then Jesus has promised that he's going to return. Jesus has promised he's going to return. And when he's going to do that? When is he going to do that? When everything is ready. When everything's ready, then he's going to return. And last but by no means least, that in times of lack, know that God promises provision for you. Just trust and believe that he'll do so. And I pray that we understand, come to a new understanding of this God that is this Father that provides, and these are his promises, and we can claim these promises for our lives. And as we close off and prepare to end off, I understand that the youth are going to do something for us for Father's Day. Is that correct? Okay, they can get themselves ready. I want to encourage each person this morning. I know that there are wounds in our lives where perhaps you never knew your father. You don't know your biological father. Perhaps you went from foster home to foster home to foster home. Perhaps you have never ever gotten on with your stepfather. And you want nothing to do with him today or whatever the case is. I want to encourage you that God can bring healing. God can bring restoration. God can bring forgiveness in your life for those areas. And if you've struggled with those things, I want you just to commit that situation to the Lord in prayer this morning. And as we just pray together as a church and say, Lord, I know that my earthly father perhaps failed in so many ways. Or perhaps you had the greatest dad, really, really would to you seems like the world's best dad. And that's wonderful. Celebrate, rejoice, thank the Lord for giving you a father that loved you and cared for you. And I want to encourage us this morning that we can just release our fathers in prayer. Just forgive them. Say, Lord, I forgive them. And if you have the privilege of having your dad still alive and you need to make amends and make peace with your dad, make that phone call or make that visit and say, Dad, I forgive you. I want to let you know I'm bearing the hatchet. As God has forgiven me, I'm forgiving you. And if your dad is still alive and he doesn't know the Lord, you can take this time just to pray and say, Lord, save my dad from hell and harm before Satan steals his life. In Jesus' name, I pray for the salvation of my dad, Lord God, that he comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus, that he gets born again, Lord, that he starts living for you, that he'll come to know you like I know you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for every person this morning as we celebrate this special day, that we just take time out to honor our dads and to honor the memories of our dads that have passed on. And I pray that you bring healing in homes, Lord God, where the father relationship has been broken down, Lord God. I pray for every father this morning, Lord God, that you give to every father the wisdom, the courage, the understanding, and a hunger and a desire for the things of God, to do things in a godly way. And I pray for every married man this morning, Lord God, that perhaps has not had the privilege of fathering children, Lord God, that they could be the godly examples in their homes. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bless you guys. Thank you for making the time and coming to visit with us this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We're going to let the youth do what they've planned this morning. I see they're still conquering there, so just enjoy it. Bless you guys. Thank you and have a great day further. We love and appreciate you all. Church hat clap, man, I should give her cup.